Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, March 11th, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. With us today, we have one of Wrangell's First Bank's customer service representatives, Haley Reeves. She's going to talk about bank account fraud and how we can protect ourselves. You can call in to ask a question or leave a comment. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, Haley. How are you?
I'm doing good today. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thanks. Thanks for coming in.
Yes. It was nice to leave the office and have like a little bit of sunshine outside. Happy to go.
Yeah. It was a treat to have the sunshine.
Yes. I'm always one. Anytime the sun comes out, I'm ready for summer. So I wore my open-toed shoes today, which I'm sure is too early. I did. Yep. Check it out. I'm like, it's time. We're moving on. Next season.
Yes. Mine are still packed away, but I will get them out soon.
Well, hopefully I've inspired you. Bring them out sooner. Let's
maybe
get the spring going.
Toes getting tanned.
Maybe. Rarely, but maybe.
Right. So, okay, let's talk about bank account fraud.
Yes.
Not toe tans.
Yes, yeah. But if people aren't interested, feel free to ask.
So, right. How often are you aware of it happening here in Wrangell or in South?
Oh, I mean, it's really everywhere. I know you hear about major stuff happening down south, but I mean, there's probably daily we have somebody call in that says, hey, I don't recognize this charge on my card. Hey, this wasn't me. And sometimes, I mean, you know, 3 times out of 10, it's a purchase that they made, but it came from a company they didn't recognize, or the company reports under a different name and they realize, oh, yeah, that was me. That was me. But a lot of times it really is. That wasn't my charge. I had my card. Nobody has my card. They've never given it out. So it does happen quite often. And it's as simple as, like, if you're scrolling on your phone, or even if you're not a phone person, on your computer, just opening a link, clicking on a link, giving a company your card that you think is a legitimate company, not reading the fine print. There's times where somebody will make a purchase and they think it's a one-time $20 purchase, but lo and behold, you've signed up for a subscription that's now going to charge you $80 every month. And if you don't read that fine print, you know, it's not good. So,
yeah. And a lot of times the fine print is long and, of course, really small.
Well, and who reads it? I mean,
and who reads it?
I'm guilty of it myself. I'm like, yeah, sounds good. Move on. You know, which is not good. Not a good habit. But yeah, it can really catch people. And I think the hardest part can be, especially for someone who maybe isn't used to computers or technology, to understand that, like, I don't know how they got my card number. And it's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, any number of ways. Did you click on this link? Like, if you click on something, they get access to your phone, and now they know all different things, like through your Apple Pay wallet or something like that, or on your computer, you've put in your card number, but you didn't actually purchase the item, but they already have your card number because you put it in there. So it's a number of ways that they can get it, and they're very sneaky, and they just keep evolving to change up how they're going to do it. I know a recent trend, and it's happened in Wrangell too, was getting a text. Lots of times your phone will get a text and it's UPS or somebody official, and you have to click on this link and answer within the next half hour, or we're going to charge your account $500. And that's always a panicked phone call that we get. And we're like, if you didn't give out any information and you know that you have nothing to do with this company, there's no way that somebody can pull money out of your account if you have not given them any information about it.
Yeah. And did you say just a little bit ago that about once a day First Bank gets us?
I would say multiple times a day we have calls of somebody saying that this was not their purchase. So we're not immune to it up here. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does bank account fraud look like then?
A number of things. You know, I think the biggest thing that we try and tell our customers when they usually will call and they're like, I'm so sorry to bug you. I'm so sorry. You know, it's, I'm sorry that I did this. I'm like, this is our job. Like, we want you to call. And I always try and reassure that if you are ever uncertain, call us directly. Even if it says it's from us, don't just take it at its word, anything. And if you, like, I would rather somebody stop me on the street if I'm not at work and say, hey, I got this text, I got this whatever, and let me kind of help them vet it out before you just are like worried about being embarrassed that you fell for something, which is not embarrassing. It happens to everybody. But we would rather 100-fold have you just call. If you have any doubt at all, call us. Come in. Chat with us. We can help you look through it. We can look at the text that you're looking at. We can look at the email. We wouldn't open anything, obviously. But it can take any number of faces, like fraud can. They can get you through the phone. They can get you over text. They can get you through email. They can get you through websites. They can even get you through Facebook. We had one where a person's friend on Facebook through Messenger told them, oh my gosh, I just purchased from here. Click on this link and like buy with me. It's really cool. And they assumed because it came from their friend that it was legitimate, but little did they know their friend's Facebook had been hacked. Mm-hmm. So we always encourage call. And even if it's that situation, make sure that you verbally talk to whatever friend you think is trying to help you out and confirm with them, did you send this to me? Is this you? So it takes any number of facades, I guess.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Call your friend if you receive that to make sure.
Call your friend. Call your bank. Call if you have a, like maybe if you're of the elderly population, call your grandson, call your daughter. Always call, always double check. You have to be really vigilant because the minute they catch you slip, I mean, we've had fraud happen to people who are very vigilant because the fraudsters are just stepping up their game every time and they know how to play the game and get you to click on something. So,
yeah. And how long have you worked at First Bank?
So I started working at First Bank when I moved here, and that was the fall of 2018. So.
Okay. And were you a customer service representative before, like with a different bank? Or
I did have previous banking experience. I worked at a bank in my hometown, actually, for 1 year in between when I graduated college and was doing camp stuff. And yeah, I didn't. That other bank, though, I was on the teller line, and that's all that I had to do during the day. We were a local bank, but the one I was at was like our main branch office. So I only did transactions at the teller line. Mm-hmm. I didn't do like the debit card fraud or any of that. Where the bank here in Wrangell, and what's kind of nice about it is we're trained in all aspects of banking for the most part. So we are trained in that debit card fraud. We do look at transactions more so, looking for that, and we know how to look at online banking, and we're a little bit more trained up here, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. And have you noticed an increase in fraud since you started? Or
that's a tough one. I don't know. It's probably like if I noticed more, it's because I am trained more in how to respond to it or how to handle it or help a customer through it. So I don't know if it's that I've noticed more, but definitely consistent. It's not like it hasn't been around. It's consistently here, consistently coming back. The hardest part of it is when someone's taken advantage of and loses, like, I mean, all this money you've worked for and there's no way to get it back sometimes. And it just depends on how that fraud happens. So those ones are the tough cases where it's like, oh,
yeah,
we wish we could have caught you sooner. One would have been, it doesn't actually happen here as much because we don't offer gift cards for sale anywhere, like credit card gift cards. But I did have a situation where a customer came in and they had bought $1,000 worth of gift cards, scratched off the code, and sent pictures to whoever the person was that they were trying to. I don't remember what their situation of why they were supposed to be giving this to them. But they didn't realize that all that person needed was the code, not the physical cards. So they sent pictures of the codes to the gift card. That person used those codes to redeem those gift cards because you don't have to have the physical card. And so this customer was out $1,000, and that's money that we can't get back because it didn't come from a bank account. It was purchased already. Those funds are gone. So those are tough.
Is there any, is there any type of insurance, like when helping, you know, your customers who have lost money?
Not really insurance. I mean, there's policies, right? So when you put your funds in a bank, there's FDIC insurance, which is a whole nother layer of stuff. And it breaks off into categories as far as how many people own the account, what type of account, more ownership account type. If you have beneficiaries, but it's up to $250,000 per owner per category. So that breaks up on its own for bank insurance. As far as insurance for your debit card, there's policies in place that when you sign for your debit card, that say how we handle fraud and how we can help you through it. Typically, it's like a 10 days of investigation. You can bring in, this wasn't my purchase. We'll have you give us any correspondence that you've had with these people. Usually, we can get funds back, I would say, for the most part, from what I've seen. The times where we can't are like, if you give your debit card to somebody to use and you give them your PIN number, and then at that point, the liability comes to you as a person because you're told when you receive your debit card not to give that out, not to give out your PIN number, all of that. So then it becomes kind of a matter of liability. Like, of course, we want to help you, but you also have to help us protect you, We can't. If we give you all the tools you need to protect yourself and then you don't use those tools, it's hard. Yeah. So that's why we always encourage, call us. Let us know. Call us. We want to work through it with you. We want to help you. We don't want you to lose that money. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And so what are there other types of bank account fraud out there? You know, like physical, like, you know, there's the stripper. Not the right word.
The strippers. Yeah. Actually, that's new to banking. I've never heard of that. You can tell me more about that.
But like, you know, the credit card readers.
Right. When you go to get gas or an ATM and they skim. So that would be called skimming.
Thank you.
That's okay. So there's that physical aspect, like you're saying, and that's where somebody will put something in a machine so that whenever you scan your card, it's skimming. It'll skim your card and give that information to them. That is not really dominant in Wrangle. I mean, we're just behind in technology as far as that goes anyways, which is handy for us, but it is dominant other places. And then there are ways that machines help to limit that. Like our new ATM, you put your card in instead of putting it vertically and you kind of turn it horizontal and put it in. And that reason being, then you're not skimming that whole barcode across. You're just putting the card in. So stuff like that is in place to help with the physical aspect of it. I would say more fraud is definitely done on the almost like clickbait, where they're click here. You need to do this fast. You're going to owe us money. And they get you because it's a sense of urgency. They tell you not to tell anybody what you're doing. They'll tell you even like if you have to go into your bank to set up this wire transfer, you cannot tell them what you're doing. You cannot tell them that it was me. Make up a story. Tell them it's your brother. And it's because the fraudsters know what we're going to ask you when you come in. Like, I'm going to ask for your safety. What are these funds for? Do you know the person that they're going to? It happens with like car purchases and like puppies, which is really sad.
Oh, wow.
When somebody goes to buy a dog and they want to wire funds. I mean, the dog's not real and we'll have to ask, have you physically seen the dog? Do you know these people you're buying them from? And we ask those questions not to be annoying and not because we don't really care what you do with your money. It's your money. You can spend it however you want. If we're asking, it's only because we want to keep your money safe and make sure that you're not going to lose out. Because those wire transfers, once they leave our bank, once they're gone, there's no way to get that money back. So we're just trying to verify, like, have you done your due diligence? Do you know these people are real? Have you been to this establishment? And we've seen that, too. We just had a customer lose out. I think it was just a few months ago on a puppy because they thought it was a real dog and it wasn't. The person took their money and dog never showed up. And that money's gone. You don't get that back. So,
wow. I didn't even think about puppies.
It's sad. There's stuff that you learn that you're like, why would you do that?
You know, it just tugs on your heartstrings.
It does. And that's another way they get you, though, is they'll tug on heartstrings like that. Like, who doesn't want a new puppy? I mean, they'll get you right where it hurts. Or like giving to a donation fund for somebody in need, right? Those are can be fraudulent quite often, where a tragedy happens and there is an actual account set up to help with that. But then other people will make an account that looks almost exactly the same and start posting that one and have people giving money to that, thinking they're giving to this tragedy, but they're really just giving to somebody who took advantage of the situation. So you really got to be careful on those as well.
So with that, like in that situation, if it's all online, is it still important to like look at the last three letters, like .org or, you
know? It's always good to hover over any links, because typically what you'll see if it's not real is spelling errors or just one letter difference, and be really diligent in that. Of course, if it's at all possible and you know who's running the thing, even if they put an online donation, if you have any contact with somebody who helps run it or knows about the tragedy or can directly get money to them, it's always good to contact. Always good. And when I say to contact, I mean do your own research. You could get an email from somebody saying, if you have any questions, call this number. Well, if it's a fraudulent email, they're just going to give you a number to them where they can continue to bully you into giving money or making you believe what's going on. I'm saying if you get an email, do your due diligence and don't touch anything in that email. Go out onto the internet and search it yourself and see what you can find. Because sometimes you'll look up and it's like, this company doesn't even exist, or this number, that's not the same number that they gave me in the email. And always try and call what you've researched, not what they give you. Don't take the information they give you.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are some tips on how to protect them yourselves.
Yeah.
How else? What else should people do?
To protect themselves?
Yeah. I guess with the sense of urgency, if anyone feels a sense of urgency, that would be a reason to...
That's a red flag already. A red flag. I mean, there are certain like red flags that come up where it should hopefully help. If you know them, you know to be cautious with it. So if there's a sense of urgency to it, that's a red flag. They're trying to get you to work fast and quick before you have time to question it. Another thing, too, is like if you've won something, air quotes, but they need you to give them money for it, that'll never happen. If you win something, you should never have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Another one would be like when it is like saying they're the FBI or Amazon or whatever, and they're reaching out to you saying, oh, we're going to, I think there was one going around saying that you had to pay this money. I can't remember why. And if you didn't pay, they were coming to your house and they were going to arrest you and take you to jail. And like, they're never going to reach out to you and let you know that we're going to take you to jail. Right. But I can see the confusion because there's always new things happening. You know, the world's always evolving. Policies are changing. And so then it's like, I don't know. Maybe they started doing that. But anything where it wants you to act quickly, where you have to pay money, where you have to be secretive about it, anything like that should be an instant red flag and like immediately tell someone you trust if that's what you need to do. But I would always suggest calling like your local bank or
something
like that.
Or like somebody threatening to take you to jail, then
go down. I would say go down to here. I would be like, just drive down to the jailhouse and ask them what's going on. Like, I remember hearing that when I was like, oh, please. I would love for them to give me that text. Go ahead. Come and arrest me. I would love to see that. And then, I mean, watch it really happen. But right. I've always said, though, if I ever went to jail, I hope it's in Wrangell, Alaska. I think I could survive here. I don't know. Anywhere else, I'd be in trouble. But here, I think I'd be okay.
In the public safety building.
Yes. they're my neighbors, so. Not that I spent time there, but.
Right. So do people usually have to go to great lengths and, like, changes, as in, like, you know, computer changes and all that, like, to protect themselves?
They should. There's, it can be harder in Southeast because it's like, who do I go to? Anytime that you think that you've been compromised, phone or computer, you should have somebody look at it and make sure there's nothing lingering or sitting on your computer. Because sometimes if you click on a link, what you've done is now open access to whoever the hacker is to go through files on your computer, right? And I'm not a technological person. So if I've opened my computer to somebody, I don't even know where to look if they're going to be there. Like, I don't know any of that. So if we ever have customers who say, like, oh, I clicked on this link on my computer and it has my online banking access and blah, we would instantly block your online banking and get something new going. And we would suggest that we probably close out accounts and open new ones just to protect their money. And then we would also suggest that they send their computer off to get cleaned out. I know there's a company in Petersburg. I can't think of the name. And then I don't know. I think there's somebody locally who can help, but I'm not actually sure if they're still in business. I would have to check. So I don't want to give. But if you ever want to know, just call the bank and we can try and help you find resources for that. I mean, nothing's free, so you'd probably have to pay for it. But it's always better to just make sure nothing's on there lingering, because even if you think you've taken care of something, if you haven't checked to make sure to clean off your computer or your phone, the minute you start new stuff, they're already in there and can look at that. So,
yeah. And so even though you're not an IT person at all, yes, do you have any suggestions on like how people can, should people be saving their passwords on their computers, or do you have ideas?
Well, there's programs that you can, we actually, I can't think of the name of it, but there's programs where it's like one program that will keep all your passwords safe. And then you only have to have one password to get into there, but it will keep all of your passwords and encrypted or whatever so that nobody knows them. But then you'd have to memorize like 30 different passwords. We always suggest, like, even when you create your online banking, I'll offer if somebody needs it, but our suggestion would be don't write it down. Don't carry it around with you. I understand can be hard because everything these days has passwords and you have to change it every year. And then you have challenge questions you have to answer. And while those are for your safety, I know it can also be frustrating. If it's something that you feel like you need to write down, then keep it locked up somewhere. Don't be carrying it in your purse and don't have it in your wallet. And don't do your best to protect what you can.
Yeah.
So if you have to write it down, which is understandable, get a safe, get something you can lock it into, come down to the bank and get a safe deposit box. I'll help you out. There's just ways to protect yourself. And it just depends on what your situation is, I guess. So,
yeah. Yeah. Do you know what else people who are victims of bank account fraud, what else they should be doing? Obviously, what does this process look like?
So if you come to our bank and you say, oh, I think that my this is compromised, we'll have a series of questions we'll kind of go through with you. So if you've only given up your debit card information but no account information, I think something that some people don't realize is your debit card number has nothing to do with your account number. Like, that debit card is linked to your account, but if all you've given is your debit card number out, we can just block the debit card, order a new debit card, and then you're good to go. You get a new debit card number. It'll still be linked to the same account. And that's kind of an easier one to take care of because it's a new card. You're good. If you've given out like your social security number or your account numbers, the minute you do that, they have access to your accounts within the bank. So at that point, we have an identity theft packet that we would hand out, and it tells you who all to get a hold of as far as like freezing your social security, where to report social security fraud with like the government or with the police. It's a packet on how to fill stuff out, and that's open to anybody. Anybody can come down. You don't have to be a customer to get that from us. We will give you any information that you need. And then if you gave out your account number, what we would do is block your online banking, get a new one going with new passwords, new everything. And then we would probably close out all of your accounts at our bank and reopen all of them for you. Set it the exact same way that you had, but now they have new numbers so that whoever the fraudster is doesn't have any, has no way to get to your funds. Another thing we would do to protect you is if you've ever called First Bank, we always have identifying questions that we have to ask you. Well, some people get a hold of that information, and if you have been compromised by that, we'll set up passwords with customers. And there's a whole system we go through just to keep it all secure. But at that point, we would set up a password with you, just so that anybody who might know your identifying information can't get in through that. So we do put up, you know, checks and balances. And it does help, like I've said, that we're a local bank because we know our customers pretty well. So, I mean, somebody who calls every day and then suddenly it's a different voice on the phone, we're going to recognize it and we're going to question that. Or somebody who calls to do a transaction that they've never really done before. We kind of know our customers' banking habits because some people keep the same habits. So if it falls out of that habit, we do try to be diligent and just double checking. And like I said before, we don't care what you do with your money. It's your money to spend. We're just trying to protect you and make sure that we can keep your money safe.
Yeah, the benefits of living in a small community.
It is. It really is. And I know I've said that before. I understand that, you know, other banks are national and they might offer some products that we can't at this time or something. But one thing that national banks generally can't offer is that customer service and that one-on-one and being able to talk to a person when you call and the recognition. Like, we know all of our customers. So,
yeah. Yeah. And just speaking of, you know, your own personal documents, would a passport count? Like, if somebody had access to your passport, you know,
would that be bad? If they had access to your passport,
probably not,
only because, I mean, you'd still want to get a new one and report a missing passport, of course, because I mean, like I said, I don't think like a fraudster does.
Right.
And sometimes when I hear what they do, I'm like, how do they even think of that? Like, that doesn't even cross my brain. But typically, like, even if somebody's opening a bank account or getting a loan or trying to do that through your name, you're supposed to have two forms of ID in general, and one has to be a government issued one, and one has there's just another form of ID that you have to have with it. And we have a list of ones that we take. So it's not like having your passport isn't the worst in the world. Social security for sure is huge, but you would still a missing passport that still have a piece of identifying information out there that you would want to report and make sure you get on top of. It's not something that you just want to be like, oh, whatever, lost my passport. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that would not be good.
I mean, you kind of work hard to get that passport too. It's time
consuming.
A lot of work.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else you want to add about, you know, bank account fraud, debit card fraud?
I think that I really would just like to reiterate that it's two things with it would just be, it happens to everyone. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. there's so many times that people don't want to say something because they're embarrassed that they fell for something. And this is like it. When I say it happens to everyone, it happens to everyone. And it is not something like the worst thing you can do to me is be embarrassed about it, because then you're going to hide things from us that we need to know to help you get fully out of it. Right. So definitely just if you are somebody that it has happened to or is currently happening to, do not be embarrassed. We're not going to sit there and laugh in your face. Like, we want to help you and we just want to make sure it doesn't happen to anybody else. And the other thing would be, like, I've kind of repeated this whole thing, is always verify, always double check. If you do not know, go out and do your own research, call your local branch, call a trusted contact, do the due diligence before clicking or doing anything else. And just know that, like, there's nothing that urgent that you're going to have to respond with and, you know, whatever they threaten you with. So yeah. Watch out for those red flags of urgency, having to pay money. Don't tell anybody what you're doing. Send us this much money. We'll send this back to you.
Fear.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Don't let fear run it.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to recap, if somebody, you know, finds that they have no money in their account, mm-hmm. contact the bank, or if people have questions before. Yeah.
Either or, contact us. If there's anything fishy at all, give us a call. We will look at it. We will try and help you through it. Like I said, there's due diligence on both sides and accountability on both sides, but we will do our darndest and the best that we can to help you out. So we always encourage the call. Anything suspicious, call right away. Don't let it sit there.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for informing all of Ringle and whoever else on fraud.
Hopefully it was helpful. We'll see.
I think it was. Good. So that was Haley Reeves, who's with First Bank on bank account fraud.